Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
Our third hour here every Saturday morning, 10 o'clock hour, our open home hour. Anything you want to talk about your home, castle, or cabin, open to you, the Arizona homeowner, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Email, if you'd like to send a picture, you can send that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. And generally speaking, we do give a text number, but they must be on the same server that the Kitchen and Bath Expo was on, because it's at a huge time delay. We were getting ready to start this trivia question over from the 8 o'clock hour, but during the top of the hour news, a flood of texts just came in all trying to answer that question. It was kind of an impromptu giveaway we did in our Talking Trees hour at eight o'clock hour. And I'll go ahead and give the answer now, because all of these text participants finally hit our screen. But it was, which tree is so old that it's credited to calibrating and providing accuracy of carbon dating method for determining the age of living organisms? And it was a multiple choice question between Bristol cone pine, live oaks, coast redwoods, and bonsai tree. And the correct answer was A. It was the Bristol cone pine.
Oh, you're kidding.
You thought it was going to be the redwood?
I was waiting for redwood. Well, you got me.
That's what I would have thought, too.
The redwood?
Mm-hmm. Gary had me convinced in here.
Oh, did he go wrong?
Well, I testing myself yesterday, I did get the pine right, just because I do know there's a lot of pines in the Midwest region, or I'm sorry, the Middle East region. But let's get to our
call. Before we head to the phones, you guys, can we?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Well, we know who's in charge here right now. Miss
Carol.
Well,
I have coined this little section that I do Carol's follow-up corner, because as you know, I've taken over the info inbox. And every time you mention the name of a book, the name of a company. I had a guy last week talk about the internship that you were talking about.
Yes.
With the Arizona.
Yeah.
What was the name of that?
General Contractor Association.
Absolutely.
And the big heavy equipment internship.
Anytime you give out a name, people ask me all week, what was he talking about?
Wasn't that a nice letter about the book?
That was such a nice letter.
Someone actually knew the author. That was great. But anyway, what have you got this week?
So this homeowner said, recently you discussed water and sewer line insurance. The mail order companies did not fare well. However, you mentioned someone who had acquired such insurance via a rider on their homeowner's policy. My insurance company does not offer such a rider. Can you tell me the company your contact referred you to?
Oh, easy.
This came by email from a Mr. John in Sun City.
So you'd be able to respond to him directly. But for any homeowner's insurance policy at all, I would just send them to our good friend Rosie Certified Focus Insurance Group. I'll have them talk to the team there.
Absolutely. And Clay was on with us a few weeks ago.
That's right.
He shared some really valuable information. You can go back and listen to that on our website under Homeowner Resource.
Why we don't like home warranty programs. Because you can add riders for your water heater, your air conditioner, your kitchen appliances, and everything through your homeowner's insurance. And then, if you ever have to activate a claim, you get to pick who does the repair, not some home warranty company that may or may not have your best interest at heart.
And just to follow up with that, it seems counterintuitive, because when you hear warranty, you feel safe. You know, everything's taken care of. I don't need to worry about this ever again, but it's good to know if it sounds too good to be true, maybe because it is.
Can be, absolutely.
All righty, I have a Mr. Dave in Scottsdale.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
I have a sunken-in living room area. Who can you recommend to fill it in? I've had estimates ranging between thousands of dollars. The latter to me was outrageous. I live in Scottsdale. I have a two-story home with a 2.5 bath and 4 bedrooms. I will soon need to replace my water heater. What are the pros and cons for buying a tankless water heater?
Oh, my goodness.
I have to run water for a long time to get hot water to the kitchen. I look forward to your advice.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Dave. You can get estimates for a sunken living room in Scottsdale filled, probably starting at about $1,500. I can tell you a couple things about that quote. It won't be done right. It won't be done to code. And all they're doing is dumping a bunch of concrete in a hole and leveling it off. To truly do this per code, You need to raise all the electrical receptacles. You need to get any furring strips, wood, drywall, or baseboard that will be below floor level cut, removed, and raised above the new floor level. Then we always encourage people to drill that sunken living room and hit it with a big dose of termite treatment. Then you pour the concrete. We like that concrete to be fairly stiff. We like it to be at about a, not much more than about a 3 or 4 inch slump. We like it to be at 4,000 PSI. We pour it. We finish it. It will create a huge humid environment inside your house as it hydrates, because the water has no place to go. It can't leak down through the other concrete slab. All the water must come up through the surface. A dehumidifier in the room for a couple days might be a good idea. Let it cure, and then you're all set. Then you have to have the electrical receptacles raised to the appropriate level, replace the insulation, the furring strips, the sheetrock, the paint, the baseboard, and the floor covering. We tell people in filling a sunken living room, done per code, not counting the finished floor covering, you're going to spend about $30 a square foot. Now, as far as the water heater, that's another whole question. Do I like tankless water heaters? I love them. Just know that most tankless water heater companies do request and or require, for their warranty to be honored, that you have a water treatment system in front of that tankless water heater. That would be a water softener. So if you don't have a water softener and you're going to convert from a traditional tank to a tankless tank, you've got the cost of the tank, any modification to the gas line, the electric line, the plumbing lines, and the cost of a water softener. So it tends to be, if you're not currently water softened, a fairly expensive proposition.
And for the layman's perspective, tankless versus non-tankless, what exactly does that mean?
Well, you've got the conventional water heater, traditional, that's a 40, 50, 80 gallon that heats up the water and it sits there warmed inside your house or outside in the garage or on the back patio. And it just keeps that much water hot all the time, whether you need it or not. A tankless, as soon as you turn the hot water tap on, boom, it fires up and you get instant hot water. You're never storing hot water. So it saves you some money on your utilities. With a water softener installed correctly, they do tend to last longer than a traditional water, and they'll never cause you a leak or a flood like an 80-gallon tank stored in the laundry room that decides to go out after 10 or 12 years, rusts out all the water. I think you remember that the night before your wedding.
I do. I do. How can a girl forget? Speaking of saving money on utilities, I had a really sweet letter from a Miss Marilyn saying that you've saved her over $80 a month in her utility bill because of super cooling. And we've talked about a little bit all the amount of people coming into Arizona. I know you probably feel like it's a tired topic, but people are asking me about it all the time. If you had to give a 2-minute, 3-minute elevator pitch about what super cooling is for our new Arizona residents, what would that look like?
The industry, the electric grid industry, is all switching to impact how you buy electricity for the purpose of overall conservation. So what they're doing is saying, look, in the middle of the summer, when everyone wants their air conditioning running full speed between 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock, as an example, we're going to charge more money for electricity to encourage people to set their thermostats a little bit higher and reduce the demand. The utility companies must build generation plants based on the peak load they have to satisfy, plus a buffer margin. So what we tell people, if your house is reasonably well insulated, has good windows, and is shaded strategically, go to a time of day purchase plan, and at 8:30, set your thermostat as cold as you can stand it in the middle of the summer. At my house, which is about 2,500 square feet, I take my thermostat in the middle of the summer to 68 degrees at 8:30.
We're the only house in Arizona where in the middle of August, everyone inside is wearing sweaters and
We're not anymore. Now there are thousands of people doing this, and we're saving that is the greenest thing you can do for the environment and for the globe and the world and the community, because you're not having to build that next nuclear power plant or build another dam for another hydroelectric plant. If we can all curb our peak, my house sleeps from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock with virtually zero electricity consumption. So I buy 90 to 95% of my electricity off peak. That saves me a ton of money. That's exactly what she's talking about. Set the thermostat. If you don't like 68, that's fine. Set it to 72 or 74. But between 3 and 8, or between whichever peak plan your utility company has, set it high. I let my house get to as hot as 78 or 80 degrees. And my air conditioners never come on, ever, on peak. So you should be able to buy your electricity for about 10 or 11 cents a kilowatt. And baby, it doesn't get any cheaper than that.
It doesn't. And she even says here, she had Steve from Advanced Home Systems come out and help her implement a timer and implement this practice. And she said, what a kind and helpful guy. I'm so appreciative of both his and your help. So a huge hug to Rosie on the House and Steve from Advanced Home System. My budget is tight and I'm just so appreciative.
I wonder what she does with the 80 bucks.
And you know what? It mentions, that letter specifically mentions Steve Kep. And I am given the credit for inventing super cooling. And I didn't. Steve Kep taught me super cooling, and it has saved me tens of thousands of dollars over the last 2,500 square foot home kept at 70 degrees through the middle of the summer. My bills are never over 260, 270 bucks.
What are you doing with the savings?
I've mostly been paying college tuitions and weddings the last 20 years. But
you're
pretty
welcome.
Soon it's going to be a new Mustang.